Hello, this podcast is recorded on Gadigal country and we pay our respects to the First Nations custodians of the land, both here and also wherever you're listening from.
Hey, we're on leave at the moment, but we have had a ferret through the archives and chopped up some stuff that we found very funny at the time and are re-gifting them to you as stocking stuffers over the summer. Hope you enjoy.
Hi,
how are you? Can we have two tickets to a 50 Shades of Grey, please? Yes, thank you.
Two adults?
Yes.
$24.
Thank you. I'll get this, Salesy.
Oh, good. Okay, so it'll be on your credit card. Excellent. There's no evidence that
plain brown wrapper, I believe.
Exactly. Can we get those in a brown paper bag, please?
I don't know how to insert this thing.
Well, Crab...
line from the movie.
Well, Crab pays for her tickets for us. I add her tickets to 50 Shades of Grey. Hello, welcome back to Chat 10 Looks 3 with Annabelle Crab and Lee Sales. And we are having our inaugural podcast for the year at 50 Shades of Grey. Now, why are we doing this?
Hey, do you want anything? Popcorn? Full facial mask?
Paper bag to cover my head? Large hat and sunglasses?
Warm towel?
Oh, you're disgusting. Let's pause while we ponder that. Okay, we're back again. We, after that angst, didn't get anything.
No, that just felt like the experience would be enough, really.
Now, why are we doing this again?
Well, because I think we got in a rut, didn't we? You know, just going to see things that we liked and reading things that we thought would be interesting. So, I mean, have you read the book?
I downloaded the book last week just because I knew that we were coming to the film and, you know, so I wanted to do the research and make sure I was on top of things.
Wow, hardcore. No, I haven't ever read the book. But, you know, I think it's perfectly permissible these days to see a film when you haven't read the book, right?
Well, yes, I think so. And in fact, the reviews I've read of this film say that the film is actually better than the book, which isn't saying much.
Right, okay. We see, I have gone in bareback. I haven't read any of the reviews because I like to do these things in an immersion kind of technique.
See, everything that you're saying now, I'm viewing through some 50 Shades prism, like when you said, you know, we're in a bit of a rut, that you were going in bareback. This is going to be the first R+ edition of Chat 10 Looks 3.
I'm just scrolling back through my vocabulary and really realising how little of it is actually useful. The film hasn't even bloody started. We're already giggling like fools.
I know. I completely pity anyone that's coming to this actually hoping to be titillated, because we're just going to spend our entire time laughing and cracking ridiculous one-liners, I think.
You're on.
Okay, so we've decided that the theme for this week, we'll give you a review of the film when we come out, of course, but it's also going to be about watching, reading, or doing things that you wouldn't normally do. So that's the theme for this week.
Bondage and discipline, for instance. Lots from you on that, I imagine.
All right, so we'll be back with you after we see the film. Stay tuned. Right, so here we are, post 50 Shades of Grey.
Quick rub down in the cinema foyer.
Yeah, that's right. We're sitting in the foyer of the Dendy Cinema, so that's why it's a little bit noisy. But I digress. So what did you make of the film?
I think if I'm not cut out for that sort of thing, I just couldn't stop tittering. I think it was very difficult to maintain a straight face. And I kept thinking about, like, there was a young couple right in the back row, and then there was a man with suspiciously roomy trousers.
I know. You couldn't help look about at the demographic.
I would be bad, I think, at B&D of any kind, role play, submissive, dominant, because I just, like, the sniggering factor would just be too much.
Yeah, that would be bad. I mean, look, we're probably, to be fair, I suspect we're not the right demographic for the film because,
who's the target audience, though?
Well, I just think my, you know, erotic fantasy is to be in a hotel room alone and that's it. Like, we've got 5 children under 8 between us. Like, that, the idea that, you know, you'd waste a hotel room on anything but sleep.
And what was that, 140-minute film? Like, I would accept just, like, watching Ryan Gosling do the dishes real slow.
Well, there was a moment where we were laughing in the film where he had some, I don't know what it was, device.
The duster.
The duster, we called it. And I said to you, it looks like he's doing the mopping, to which I think you said something like, now there's an erotic thought, having someone do your mopping.
Just half an hour of mopping, thanks. Well, I mean, see, here's the difficulty when you're making a kind of...
you know, a bondage movie that you also want to be a million, you know, a bajillion dollar hit or whatever. You know, because you've got to have aspects of bondage, if I may borrow a concept from Andrew Lloyd Webber, without actually like a full brutality. So that a lot of the time there would seem to be a lot of dusting going on.
Yeah.
And then a lot of, like, seriously, when they cast that film as well, and I'm skipping all over the place here. I hope you will tie each other down at some point. Sorry. But, like, the amount of lip biting that went on in that film, and I assume that when they were casting it, they did it entirely on the basis of
how good are her lips, and can she? How well does she bite?
That was good biting.
Like, it was.
You can't argue with lip biting of that quality.
I thought you were going to say how many inanimate objects can we work into any one scene for a bit of fondling.
Look, during a particularly childish interval during the film, I was just, every time there was a new shot, just identifying the phallic object in the shot. It was sort of like when you see a Wes Anderson movie and you're kind of like, oh, that's symmetrical. Like, oh, that looks like an art postcard I once wanted. You know, in this one it's like, oh, a bottle of wine.
Oh, elevator shaft.
Lamp. Tap. Oh, yeah.
I think there was, for me, there was like two genuinely erotic moments in the film. The first was the opening, which reveals his immaculate walk-in wardrobe.
Right, okay.
That was really titillating. I was like, yeah, I'll have one of those, thank you. And the other one was they had that pavilion owned by his parents with the indoor pool and the greenhouse,
yeah,
sort of
sure,
thing. Yeah, that was definite turn on for
very
me.
Horny.
Exactly. The other thing I think that's my problem with these sorts of films, and I mean, I know you're meant to suspend disbelief and whatnot, but is the idea that, say, for example, he has this red room, which is his playroom.
Yeah.
I can't help but think, well, who cleans it?
Right, I see. So you're...
Who cleans the red room?
Well, I assume that that would be something that the submissive would get around to at some point. I mean, like,
good point, actually,
I mean,
yeah,
they didn't dwell on those aspects of the contractual agreement, but I assume that if anyone's going to be slopping out that red room, it ain't going to be him, is it? Right.
Good point. The other thing that added enormously to the appeal of the film, I'm sure for everyone else there, is the fact that I've got this extraordinarily hacking cough.
Yeah, that was nice. I got to say, that was a real turn on. Like, any threat of becoming aroused in any way at any point during the film was, I have to say, that, because nothing said says sexy like phlegm, right? Am I right? I mean, my panic word is actually mucus at this point, which you've got a most disgusting cold. I'm sure that the other furtive patrons of the cinema enjoyed that as well.
I know. I think they're over there asking for their money back right now.
This was seriously such a ridiculous idea,
oh,
though,
no,
wasn't it?
Seriously. Honestly.
It's a cartoon, you know, and I just... Suspension of disbelief is something on which we rely heavily on films for, right? But, I
right.
mean, like, this... Oh, my God. I don't know. I think it was... There were a couple of moments... It was full of these sort of vertiginous plot moments where something happens and then... In your brain, you form this kind of dreadful premonition about what's going to happen next, and then it happens. Like, you know, you think, oh, surely not going to... Oh, Jesus. Like, when he's trying to talk her into, you know...
The mopping.
The code name, the mopping. And he says, oh, you know, what do you like to do? What do you not like to do, you know, when you're having sex? And she says... I don't know. And you think, oh, God, please don't be a virgin. Please don't be the only hot 22-year-old virgin who's at, you know, college in Seattle or whatever. Oh, yeah, she's a virgin.
And that he's just happened to, you know, Seattle's most experienced sexual predator has happened to. Just, you know, she's fallen into his lap. Look, it was your classic, you know, you say it was like a cartoon. It was your classic... you know, young innocent girl with a beast story, basically. And
yes.
I can't show you my true self because I'm a beast. So it was Christine and the Phantom, and it was Beauty and the Beast. And
All but
of that.
I mean, I don't know. Whose fantasy is that? I don't know. It sort of feels like a guy fantasy, obviously, because there's this sort of dewy eyed, lip munching hot pot who just happens never to have had her knickers off before, but has just, you know, oh, my clothes just fell off. I would really like you to hurt me badly. That would be great.
The other
then
thing,
we could go in your plane.
The other thing that you know, and again, I know you're meant to suspend disbelief when you come to the films, but so, for example, that moment where she reveals that she's a virgin, and I think he's already shown her through his little torture dungeon by then, hasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
So what, not for a moment does she go, oh, hang on, I'm just, you know, I better check with my girlfriend.
I might phone a friend.
Yeah, I might phone a friend. Like, often in these sorts of films where women are the main protagonists, one of the things that strikes me, you know, because I think, frankly, I know a bit about women and about friendship between women, I think that you run a lot of stuff by your friends, particularly major decisions. And the fact that she didn't go home to her flatmate and say, wow, like, I'm really into this guy, but I've got to tell you, just between us, because he swore me to secrecy, he's got, like, a dungeon full of mops and dusters.
So let me get this straight, Sales. Your problem with this film is a plausibility issue? I just could not see that coming.
Thank you for listening to this repurposed content and for pretending that it was completely new and that you'd never heard it before, when you know good and well that we've just mined it from the archives. Anyway, nonetheless, I hope you enjoyed it second time around. We are going to be back for 2024. Oh, look, I don't really know when. You know what we're like. We just don't like to commit. But it'll be sometime in late January, probably, if I can, you know, coax Crab off the, you know, poolside Lilo. So see you soon.